welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Essential Oils, the latest in cancer research. Even the National Cancer Institute recognizes the health benefits of essential oils for cancer patients. In fact, it's widely understood that aromatherapy, which uses essential oils, can improve quality of life by greatly reducing stress and anxiety. Just a quick search on PubMed will reveal nearly 14,000 studies on essential oils, many reporting positive results. Unfortunately, we live in a world dominated and controlled by the pharmaceutical industry, and the mainstream media refuses to feature the health benefits of essential oils. That's why I created the Natural Health 365 podcast, so that you can get the latest news about natural therapies that work. And as usual, I have a special guest that will share the latest research associated with essential oils for cancer patients. But before we meet our guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming our special guest, Dr. Eric Zielinski, to our show. Dr. Z, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan, so much. I appreciate what you all are doing, your mission, and it really is an honor to be on right now.
And Dr. Z, why don't we talk about first, to start off the program, what got you so into essential oils?
You know, Jonathan, that's a very funny story because at first, I had no desire to get involved with essential oils because I literally thought that they were useless. Meaning this, I had a fungal infection, athlete's foot, a few years ago. You do some research, you find out tea tree or Melaleuca should be a remedy for that. I went to the health food store, got some knockoff brand. I tried it and nothing worked. And I'm like, you know what? This stuff just ain't for me, right? And the funny thing is my wife, we've been married now for 9 years, and my wife has used essential oils for 20 years, and she has her normal routine. She does her thing on her feet, under her armpits. She does all kinds of stuff. And I just thought they were smelly, you know, just smelly aromatic compounds that replaced her perfume. Well, after my negative experience with essential oils, I pretty much wrote them off until one of my clients, because I'm a public health researcher, commissioned me to write a series of public health reports on essential oils. And I dug into the research. And let me tell you, what first struck me was how oregano is an unbelievably effective solution to MRSA and other antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And then I started doing research on frankincense and cancer. And then I started doing research on immunomodulation and other health effects that essential oils have. And I started thinking, well, maybe it might not have been the essential oil that didn't work. Maybe it was the type of essential oil I tried, or dare I say brand or quality. And then I started digging into the difference between therapeutic versus non-therapeutic essential oil. I started using a medicinal brand and my life has changed. And I've been a regular user now for over a year and I love them. Now I have my own story, countless. My family and I use them on a regular basis. And I'm now finally experiencing what the research has shared.
So Dr. Z, this is very important because again, I'm with you on this. We hear about essential oils. It is heavily searched on the internet. A lot of people are interested, but it seems like such a very vague and general term. So let's talk about exactly what essential oils are and perhaps the differences. Let's get into that a little bit for a few minutes.
Well, by definition, essential oils are volatile organic compounds. Essentially, they are the antimicrobial, the protection, and the healing agents in the plants. So the best example that we always use is, ever cut a lemon or a lime or a grapefruit and your hands are a little bit oily afterwards? Well, that's the essential oil. Now, the essential oils do not contain any vitamins or minerals. They are chemicals like terpenes, esters, alcohols, you name it. That's what the essential oils are. So essentially, they are natural chemicals that God put in the plants for protection and for healing. And so there are two primary ways of extracting them. If we're discussing citrus oils, they're typically extracted from cold pressing. So for example, it'll take roughly 45 lemons 45 lemon rinds, that is, to get a bottle of lemon. You're not going to use the fruit. You're not going to use the juice. Again, just the rind. Now, let's say we're talking about vetiver or frankincense or even lavender, for example. Those are extracted from steam distillation. And then you distract them. It can take roughly 40 pounds. And we're talking pounds. That's a lot. 40 pounds of lavender to get a bottle of lavender. And that's important when we discuss the quality and the quantity, because roughly 1.2 million rose petals are required to get a bottle of rose. So when you go to the store and you see some brand offering rose oil for $5 or $10, it's guaranteed adulterated, which means this, it's either cut, it's diluted, or it's flat out fake. It's synthetic. And Jonathan, you were a guest in our Essential Oil Revolution online summit. And in that summit, Dr. Robert Pappas, who's the premier essential oil chemist in the world, quoted that 75% of all the oils on the market are adulterated. Well, how does he know? Because he's tested them all. And he has seen they're either, again, laced, they're cut, they're diluted, or they're just flat out fake.
And it's like anything else, Dr. Z. You know, there's high quality and there's low quality, and people need to understand that. And of course, people conventionally who want to put down essential oils, they do that with all kinds of things like vitamin C or, you know, foods, for example, that have chemicals or don't have chemicals. They say, oh, it's just a little something. It has no effect at all. They just want to blow off all of this like it has no meaning at all, but they don't appreciate that in the context of everything you do. You know, the people that are the healthiest are concerned about having the highest quality possible food, the best air, the best water, the best beverages that they have, on and on and on. They are living that way. That's why they feel so good.
Exactly. Exactly. We have to have a standard that we do not compromise. And that's something that irks me because, again, you could call it, I was victimized. I was a victim of buying an off-brand oil that was either synthetic or diluted. It doesn't matter because it didn't work. And Jonathan, here's something that I've found that is very important for people to recognize too, is if an oil is synthetic, well, theoretically, it could be benign, meaning it won't have any harm to people. Yet the research has shown one of two things. A synthetic essential oil is flat out carcinogenic. It will cause cancer, or it could either be linked into Alzheimer's, dementia, or other neurotoxicity. But if a synthetic essential oil hasn't been linked to any disease, that still doesn't mean it's safe, because what it does, it puts a metabolic burden on the body, which now the body then has to use precious ATP, precious energy, to metabolize it to get it out of the system. And that's a problem that we're seeing right now, is people that are overloaded with volatile organic compounds. Now, I'm 35 years old, a younger guy, but I do remember living in the 80s and having my mom just bathe me with regular soap without scents. We didn't have smelly stuff all over the place. Now it's virtually impossible to live a life around the scents and the volatile organic compounds that come from these aerosols, air fresheners, hand sanitizers, you name it. Kids are being inundated with it, which is one reason why I'm convinced that at the rate that we're at, studies have shown 1 in 2 children will have autism. We don't stop this dangerous trend. And partly, we know organic, non-organic, GMO, non-GMO, that plays a huge part. But the unsung risk that people aren't hearing about are the smells and the fact that these volatile organic compounds are everywhere, and kids are just being poisoned left and right in utero because moms are bathing themselves with Bath and Body Works and God knows what else they're putting on their skin, which again gets into the bloodstream, because everything we put in the skin, 60 to 75% of all the chemicals get into the bloodstream.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, you can visit liveonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. Dr. Z, let's get right into some of the research that was done on essential oils for cancer patients. I mean, that's what this program is all about. What did you find?
Well, there has been a recent literature review published in the American Journal of Cancer Research, And that's pretty important because this is the American Journal of Cancer Research. This isn't an offshoot journal that we're going to see published in India or China, which unfortunately most research is done overseas. And I say unfortunately because, as you know, and I know, Jonathan, the pharmaceutical industry funds the research in our nation. So it's great to see a literature review done. And this literature review tested or evaluated well over 150 articles, and they found that essential oils are a viable solution when it comes to various cancer lines. And I want to list out some because what we have found is virtually every cancer line will be affected by essential oils in one way or another. But I have a list I want to share with people because if you or a loved one are affected by this, you might want to very well consider using essential oils in the variety of ways you can use them as a solution. Now, we're talking brain cancer, breast, cervix, colon, kidney, leukemia, liver, lung, mouth, multiple myeloma, oral cancer, ovary, pancreas, prostate, and even skin and stomach. Virtually what we're finding is this. Every study that are testing the anti-tumor effects of essential oil are proving that they have a multiple mechanism that they're using to kill cancer. And by that, there are multiple pathways. For example, essential oils can produce what's known as apoptosis, which is programmed cell death. They also can arrest cells. It's called cell cycle arrest. They are anti-metastatic. They are anti-angiogenic, which means that they actually stop the cancer cells from producing more blood vessels, which will then in turn slow down the growth. They increase levels of reactive oxygen and nitrogen species. And here's, Jonathan, this is really intriguing. What essential oils have shown, especially sandalwood, I've seen in one study with bladder cancer, it modulates DNA repair. So one thing that cancer cells are contingent on to grow is their DNA produces modulate, or their DNA will modulate so that the cancer cells will be able to react to the immune system. But what essential oils do, it stops that. It actually stops DNA repair, and it prevents the cancer cells from fighting back to the immune system, so the immune system can do what it was designed to do and kill this stuff.
It's incredible information. People who are new to this, they're going to be naturally wondering, Dr. Z, do conventionally trained oncologists, do they understand this? Do they see any of this research? What do you tell people?
That's a tough one. Because the reality is, whether you're a medical doctor, you're a chiropractor, you're a naturopath, most physicians get limited experience and limited exposure to essential oil research. And that's unfortunate because it is one of the fastest growing trends right now in alternative therapies to cancer. But I'll tell you, any oncologist worth his or her weight in gold will definitely recommend in a collaborative approach. And Jonathan, I think it's important to make one note. We help a lot of people. We help a lot of cancer patients, and it's not a black or white issue. Most people I talk to, they automatically assume, well, I have to take the allopathic model or I have to take the naturopath model. No, you could do both. Meaning this, studies have shown that essential oils help chemotherapy be more effective. Now, this isn't to mean that I'm going to promote chemotherapy usage because I don't. However, that's someone's personal decision. And I personally don't know what it's like having cancer. And if I were to get that diagnosis, I hope that I would going to do the things that I know to do. Yet if someone does choose chemotherapy, there's no point to be judged. You don't be condemned. And that's really important because if you're going to take that route, you always, always, always have to use natural therapies because natural therapies like essential oils have been shown not only to help chemotherapy be more effective, but it helps with the side effects. So it helps with the inflammation, the pain, also the fact that chemotherapy just annihilates all cells, not just the cancer cells. Essential oils have cell selectivity. They actually help the healthy cells grow, and they help kill the cancer cells. So it's like, in a sense, sniper taking out an enemy target versus using a nuclear approach. So with that, again, for people, you go to your oncologist, and if your oncologist refuses to subscribe to the research, then you could just do whatever it is that you want to do because you are empowered to make your own decision. And that's another thing. I'm not God. You're a oncologist isn't God. What we say is just a recommendation. We are accountable to make our own healthcare decisions, and I don't care what the doctor says. We have to do what's right for us. And that is a very important point that I think everyone just needs to take away from is ultimately we're accountable.
Dr. Z, why don't we talk about things a little bit more specifically, because obviously people are listening to this. They want to know more specifically some of the things you've already referenced. Let's say, you know, when it comes to killing infections, you know, look, if someone had cancer and they're going through traditional therapies and their immune system's going down, you know, they're going to be more prone to infections. There's going to be more inflammation. There's going to tend to be a body that experiences more physical pain or nausea. So those are four things right there. Can we speak to some of the things that might be helpful? Like, let's just say for reducing inflammation, what is it you tell people? Which essential oils would be best?
Yeah, that's a great question. And now, Jonathan, before we get into the details, it's important to recognize that there are three primary ways of using essential oils. One is aromatherapy. And that would be, I would recommend never to heat anything up, because if you heat something, you can denature and change the chemical composition. So you want to get a diffuser. You want to get a diffuser that works off of vibration, and you use lukewarm to cold water. So again, it will not change the chemical constituency of the oil. The other application is topical use, and we always recommend dilution. A couple drops of coconut oil per drop of essential oil is a very effective way of diluting the oil so it actually gets into the skin. And because oils are transdermal, you could rest assured that if you have, for example, a stomach ache, like you mentioned, or inflammation in certain areas, then you can actually apply the oil over that area, and it's localized, and that will actually help with the inflammation. And the other way is controversial, but we have seen over and over again in the research that safe, wise, internal use is very effective. So again, for inflammation, for one drop of lemon essential oil in a glass of water is a great anti-inflammatory solution. And same thing with frankincense. Now, for people that have esophageal irritation, or let's say you have gastrointestinal problems and you're prone to acid reflux or heartburn, it's a great idea to put the oil in a gel cap or any sort of capsule, because that way it's time release. It will not be digested until it gets into your gut, and then it saves your esophagus and your upper GI from any irritation. Because again, many people, they'll take drops of oil in their mouth and they're fine, but other people can take an oil directly into their oral cavity and they get irritation because of that. So in a sense, you have to play around and you have to find out what works best for you.
Can you overdo it at all with some of these? Are there any contraindications, you know, before we get into some of the other things that you're doing for cancer patients in particular?
Well, just like anything. I mean, too much of a good thing is too much. I mean, how many people, we don't hear it every day, but people die from water toxicity. I mean, you could drink too much water where you hurt yourself, and people have actually been known to die because of that. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a difference. You go on Pinterest, and God bless these people. They're trying to help. But these morphine bombs and flu bombs and these things that are out there that promote 20, 30 drops of oil in a capsule, I mean, that's just ludicrous. Well, we have found, the research has shown that the max dosage I have seen for internal usage was in cases of irritable bowel syndrome with enteric-coated capsules, and that's 6 drops of peppermint 3 times a day. So if we were to extrapolate, yeah, okay, 18 drops a day for irritable bowel, now let's scale back and let's think about what we could do for cancer. So in a sense, that's my guideline. Unfortunately, the research with cancer and human trials are limited to none. Again, we don't have the research funding. And the truth is, Jonathan, the NIH refuses to fund essential oil cancer research. So we could talk about that in a minute if you'd like to, but they refuse to fund more of it. So we have to extrapolate from other studies. But I see no problem with putting a few drops of oil in a capsule, ingesting that 2-3 times a day. That would be very safe and effective.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Dr. Z, it seems like, you know, when I do a little basic research as to what conventional medicine is saying, you know, the National Cancer Institute, they're talking about how essential oils are helpful for cancer patients in reducing that stress and anxiety. I mean, that alone is worthwhile. Which are some of the essential oils that I guess they must have looked at? But of course, you know, they leave that out. They don't mention which ones were used. They admit it's effective. But which ones would be best for something like that, for somebody who's really stressed out or anxious?
Well, one thing that we have found are just the go-to oils that people have known for years and years, like lavender. lavender has such a calming effect on the body, especially people that are battling anxiety or stress. It actually works at the limbic system in the same way citrus oils do. And believe it or not, citrus oils have been used for centuries, all the way back from the Ayurvedic folk medicine 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. Lemon, bergamot, orange, grapefruit, these oils have been shown to help uplift mood, which can then help with anxiety, stress, and it just really creates a whole different biochemistry. Because the problem that we have with cancer, the cancer protocol in the medical community, is people are given death sentences on a regular basis. And I have no problem with staging a cancer. I mean, that's wisdom, saying, okay, your cancer is advanced, it's not advanced, whatever. But when you start giving people, when you really start playing God, and you start saying, well, you got 6 months to live, guess what? People are now going to live for 6 months. Why? Because they're going to have self-proclaimed prophecies. We see it time and time again. So that creates just an inherent fear. That creates an inherent anxiety and depression as well. So again, the lavenders, the citrus oils, and there are so many others that you could do. You know, the Indians, they have an ancient practice where they burn frankincense, which is known as dhup in their language. And what they do every day for roughly a half an hour in the evening, they burn frankincense resin to purify their house and to create just a meditative mood. Well, we have seen that actually helps people, that helps with not only inflammation, that helps with calming effect, that helps with purification of actually the microbial infection that might be in your home, viruses, bacteria, you name it. So just something even like frankincense has been shown to help, extremely just multifaceted. These things, there's no limit to what essential oils can do because, Jonathan, again, these are the healing mechanisms in the plant, and we know that true medicine are in the plants.
I want to thank our sponsor one more time, Live On Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit liveonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. Dr. Z, why don't we hone in now? Like, you know, just obviously it's generalizing because we can't do this for each and every person out there, but there'll be a lot of people that have cancer out there, and they're going to want to understand a little bit more about how you've helped people with cancer in using the essential oils, whether it's putting it on their skin, breathing it, you know, whatever it is. How do you talk to people about this?
Well, first of all, Jonathan, I really ask people what their lifestyle is like. What are they eating? How's their sleep? What are their sexual habits? I mean, we really got to get into someone's just soup to nuts, so to speak, because if someone is going to McDonald's and they're eating a fast food diet, then I'd just tell them, you know, you're wasting your time. It's like taking one step forward, three steps back. So really, that is foundational, our implementing lifestyle changes where there's no sugar, there's no dairy, there's no grains. You're cutting out the major inflammatory agents that trigger and even feed cancer. Now, once we get that settled with, that's when we start putting people on an individualized protocol. And it looks different for everyone. However, there are several oils that we have seen time and time again that have been shown to help with cancer. And some of them I'll list. We're looking at oregano, frankincense, thyme, sandalwood, myrrh, orange, neroli. I mean, these oils, time and time again, have been shown to help people, even basil. So we want to implement a multifaceted approach to using these. So whether that means putting three or four drops of a variety of different oils into a diffuser, again, you want total five or six drops in the diffuser. So whether or not you take two drops of frankincense, thyme and basil, for example, put that in a diffuser and just enjoy that throughout the day as you go along your work or whatever it might be, applying oils diluted over an area where you actually have a tumor or a lump, that sort of thing, or ingesting them. So again, it's really personalized. Now, there are certain oils, like we have seen frankincense and sandalwood, for example, have been shown to help with prostate and bladder cancer. So we'll focus on that. And others with breast cancer, oregano, black pepper, thyme, basil. So there is limited research that really help target a specific cell line with a specific plant, but we do our best. And as research unfolds, which is literally almost every day, it seems like there's another research article that comes out about essential oils, we're adding our and we're building our database.
To sum up, Dr. Z, as we're talking about essential oils, especially for those people who are, you know, concerned about cancer, what are some of those essential things that we've got to remember?
Well, you have to remember, number one, there's hope. I don't care what the oncologist has told you. I don't care what you're thinking. There is hope. Your body has been given the unbelievable ability to heal itself under the right conditions. And with proper diet, exercise, stress management, and meditation, and the use of alternative therapies like essential oils, you could really beat this thing. And that's number one, Jonathan. That's really number one. Number two, we can't discount the effect of the psychogenic aspects of cancer and disease, meaning a healthy mind produces a healthy body. And so we want to use aromatically, we want to regularly diffuse those mood elevating oils like the citrus oils. We want to promote healthy sleep, because one thing that robs our body of strength and immunity is unhealthy sleep, being disturbed multiple times, waking up in the night. So make sure you're diffusing lavender and vetiver, and even applying oils diluted on the bottoms of your feet. What a great effective way of getting it into your system, because we have seen that the pores on the bottoms of your feet are very large, and you put essential oils on the bottoms of your feet, it readily gets absorbed in your bloodstream. So when it comes to the tumor effects, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to use oils topically, aromatically, and also internally. And focus on the ones that have been shown to help. Getting a medicinal grade, and that I cannot stress enough, cannot get oils at a local health food store. But do your homework. I mean, if you're going to find rose oil and frankincense for $10-$20, you just know it's fake. And how you know it is because these are precious oils. And we want to really get what our essentially, you get what you pay for when it comes to oils.
For those who are interested and you're listening to this somewhere else other than on naturalhealth365.com, you can simply go to naturalhealth365.com. You can click the podcast page. Then you will see the show on essential oils. And at that point, when you open up the show page, you'll be able to see a link there, which will give you an opportunity to look at the Essential Oil Summit, which has lots of experts. Yes, I'm on it talking about the FDA and the CDC and all these things. But, you know, Dr. Z had assembled a lot of these experts. They are available now. You can go and click the link and look at all the experts and what they have to say about essential oils. This is not something you're going to learn in one day. But if it motivates you and you're interested now, I suggest that you go there and check out the summit. Dr. Z, again, thank you so much for your time. It's much appreciated. I know this information is going to help a lot of people.
Thank you, Jonathan. Again, it's been an honor, and I just want to applaud you for what you're doing. Keep on keeping on, my friend.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.